And the next case is U.S. v. Sandoval Rivera, 061876. Mr. Carlson.
May it please the court, counsel. Judge, having heard the argument just previous to this, many of the same issues that were raised in that case are raised here. But what I want to stress in this case, Judge, is what I really believe happened in this case is Judge Darrow really placed undue weight upon the guidelines. As we know from the Booker case, the guidelines are but one factor for the court to consider. But in this case, the reality of the situation is Judge Darrow started out with the guidelines, with the guideline calculation, and I point the court's attention that Booker never said that the starting point is the guidelines. But Judge Darrow,
the use of the guidelines, however, presumptively correct. Reasonable, presumptively reasonable.
Judge, and as was brought up in the previous argument, the Supreme Court has granted cert on that issue.
And I'm willing to wait until they rule on it before I jump in both feet.
And Judge, if that were the only
listen,
problem,
in my personal viewpoint, they ought to throw them all out and not consider them at all. Because I would leave matters to the discretion of the trial court more than I would to the acts of Congress. But there I am. I'm stuck with what I have.
And Judge, if that were the only problem here, I could see your Honor's point on the presumption of reasonableness. But what happened is after calculating the guidelines, what Judge Darrow really did was just stayed within the guidelines. Although 3553, excuse me?
Is that bad?
Well, he has to consider the other matters that 3553 requires him to consider, including the nature and circumstances of the offense and the characteristics of the defendant. And I don't believe that there is any evidence that Judge Darrow did that here. What he does is, after talking about the guidelines, he talks again about criminal history. Mr. Sandoval Rivera's criminal history, which was something that was taken into consideration already in arriving at his criminal history score under the guidelines. He then talks about the fact that he had been previously deported and that one of the offenses was a drug felony and therefore or a crime of violence, and therefore the 16-level increase applies. And again, that's something that's considered in arriving at the guideline calculation. So Judge Darrow starts at the guidelines, stays with the guidelines, and then says he thinks that he's going to impose a sentence within the guidelines without making any reference whatsoever to the 3553 factors. He merely says something to the effect that saying a sentence within the guideline range is proper considering the nature of the offense and the other factors set forth in 3553, but he never talks about any of the 3553 factors, which I think in this case are very, very important, because one of the issues that was raised was that Mr. Sandoval Rivera in this case, and it was undisputed, reentered the country not for any criminal purpose, not for any monetary gain, but because he had been abandoned by his mother as a child, had looked for his mother his entire life, and had finally located where she was and learned that she was ill, and he wanted to see his mother once before she died. I think those are factors that really needed to be considered in this case, and Judge Darrow just did not do that. And I think that the idea that he doesn't even mention the factors under 3553, doesn't mention any of the mitigating factors that were raised, is what distinguishes this case from this court's decision in Rodriguez-Alvarez, in which, in that case, Judge Duryagin specifically, although he didn't address every factor, he addressed the mitigating factors and talked about the mitigating factors. There was none of that here. There was not any mention whatsoever as to any of the mitigating factors. And the only reference to 3553 factors were, again, the criminal history and the prior conviction that caused the 16-level increase, which were factors that were already considered by the guidelines. So I think the net effect of what happened here is Judge Dara placed undue weight on the guidelines to the extent that what Judge Dara did was took a guideline system that we now know is advisory and, in effect, made it mandatory.
And she went to the lower part of the guidelines, too.
He did sentence at the low end of the guidelines. That is correct.
And gave in that consideration.
We don't know why he did that. He did not discuss any of the factors. He did not say that the reason he's sentencing
but
at the low end.
That's why he did it. He wanted to give him a break.
I think that could be one.
A man that has a terrible previous record. Just terrible.
There's no question he has a terrible previous record. And we do not suggest otherwise. I think if that's what Judge Dara wanted to do, Judge Dara could have said, I'm taking these factors into consideration, and the sentence I'm going to impose in light of those factors is a sentence that amounts to the low end of the advisory guideline range, but that's not what Judge Dara did. There's nothing to suggest that he considered those factors in any way.
Well, then from now on, the judge ought to ask the defense attorney to prepare his sentence. Is that what you're inferring?
No, what I'm suggesting...
He's satisfied. He gave him a break at the lower end of the guidelines on top of the bad record, even considering all of it.
Well, he may very well have sentenced him at the low end of the guideline range for other reasons. For example, the absence of a fast-track program in the Northern District of Illinois, which was something that was argued, that the 16-level increase was unreasonable. That could have been part of his reasoning, as opposed to the mitigating factors. We just don't know. They weren't addressed, and I think that Judge Dara had an obligation to address those factors. He had an obligation to take those into consideration, and I don't believe the record shows that he did so.
Thank you. Mr. Dollier?
May it please the Court. My name is Stephen J. Dollier, and I represent the government of the United States of America in connection with this appeal. There's only one issue before the Court, and that is whether or not the 70-month sentence imposed by the district court on Mr. Sandoval Rivera is in fact reasonable. The standard review in this case, is one of reasonableness. And, of course, because the 70-month sentence was within the properly calculated guideline range, it enjoys a rebuttable presumption of reasonableness.
But as counsel pointed out, there's no mention of anything in mitigation, no mention of his background, his personal characteristics, nothing. The court just says, I think a sentence within the guideline range reflects the serious nature of the offense and are also proper in considering the other factors set out in 3553. That's it. He does mention fast track, but that's it.
Your Honor, the court certainly could have gone into better depth and more detail as to far as the mitigating factors raised by defendant at the sentencing hearing.
Well, he didn't go into it at all, did he?
Well, as you mentioned, he does reference fast track briefly, but also there, and we raised this in our brief as well, there's two primary cases raised by the defense in connection with the sentencing hearing, both district court opinions. And the judge referenced those two opinions in which a number of the mitigating factors were raised, and the judge said he was familiar with those opinions and said that this case was far distinguishable, based, again, on the extensive criminal history and the fact that the defendant, in fact, was deported on three previous occasions prior to this sentencing hearing and prior to his conviction, second conviction for illegal reentry. And, Your Honor, this court has made clear that district courts in sentencing a defendant don't have to go through the factors under 3553A in a checklist fashion. Instead, it's consistent, and certainly under U.S. versus Dean and U.S. versus George, the district court here followed that procedure and stated a legitimate and appropriate basis under 3553A for granting the sentence, again, within the guideline range, and notably at the very low end of the guideline range, 70 months for doing so. And in fact, in just briefly, as far as how the district court followed the procedure set forth in both Dean and George, is that first calculated the guideline range, 70 to 87 months. Then both counsel were given an opportunity to object to the guideline range and also the facts underlying that guideline range as set forth in the pre-sentence investigation report. Defense and government, neither party had an objection to either the facts in the PSR or the guideline range. The court then took argument. Defense obviously made its arguments in mitigation. The government emphasized, in asking for a guideline sentence, Your Honor, emphasized the defendant's criminal history. And as noted in the PSR, the defendant had four prior convictions, starting back in 1990 for assault with a deadly weapon, Your Honor. And the facts of that case showed that the defendant had actually stabbed two teenagers and attempted to stab a third on the street in San Jose, California. The defendant then later in 1993 got his first of a drug conviction, which was for possession, transportation, and distribution of cocaine. He was operating an open street drug market. Then in 1997, defendant was convicted again for possession with intent to distribute cocaine, and then later on that same year was convicted of illegal reentry. Of course, between that criminal history of 1990 and 1997, the defendant had been deported on three separate occasions. The district court, after hearing argument and hearing the extensive criminal history and the three prior deportations, had said that a guideline sentence was appropriate, and as the court has noted, issued a sentence of 70 months at the very low end of the guideline range, Your Honor, and deemed that reasonable. The district court did reference the 3553A, that he had considered those factors in granting that sentence and deemed them reasonable. As the court and opposing counsel mentions U.S. versus Rodriguez-Alvarez, and the government views that case as very similar to this case, in which the court didn't necessarily address every mitigating factor, but emphasized appropriately the criminal history, which is an appropriate factor under 3553A. And therefore, the sentence is in fact reasonable. And again, Your Honor, the guideline sentence is entitled, enjoys rebuttable presumption of reasonableness, and the defense appellant in this case has not overcome that presumption, and therefore it's reasonable. If the court doesn't have any questions, the government would rest on its brief and ask that the court affirm the 70-month sentence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
3 minutes, Mr. Carlson. Thank you, and thank you for your fine representation, Mr. Carlson, as well as the government. The case is taken under advisement. The next